Hello, welcome to our podcast. This is a third podcast and it's the 15th of December 2013. I'm Caroline Mitchell and I'm here with my husband Neil to discuss our case, Paranormal Intruder. I'm happy to say we're over the moon with its progress since its launch. It's shot straight to number one in Amazon in the UK in two categories, supernatural and parapsychology. And we're absolutely delighted to see that it's shot to number one in the US in the supernatural category as well, which is a massive achievement for us. So we're really, really pleased that we're getting the word out there, which is what we've always wanted to do, and which is why we've written the book in the first place. Our book is available on Kindle and now on paperback, which again has been very exciting for us to see it in book form, to see it all as a reality. And I've had some fantastic emails and messages of support from fellow believers in the paranormal and from people who have experienced it to thank us for coming out and getting the word out there. So yeah, it's all good news. So as I say, I've got my husband Neil with me. Say hello.
Hello.
Thanks for agreeing to be interviewed, Neil. So a lot of people have asked me, I know one of the first things that happened were keys being moved and there were other odd occurrences. When did you think that it was paranormal?
When that sort of thing started happening, I didn't know if it's paranormal or not, because it was only little tiny things.
And at what point did you think that it was paranormal or something was happening that you really couldn't explain?
When I walked back in the kitchen and there was a tin of Mr. Muscle oven cleaner standing like right in the middle of the floor.
So it was just you, Lee, and our son in the house that day, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so and he was upstairs, so it couldn't have been him, and he was quite young at the time anyway, so he couldn't have moved that cleaner. So that was at the point where you felt that maybe something more was happening.
Yeah, I mean, when that cleaner was in the middle of the floor, we only walked out of the kitchen for a split second and we walked back in again. So something actually moved it within a split second. We just walked in the dining room and turned back round and walked back into the kitchen. So it wasn't actually leaving the kitchen for like 10 minutes or something. It was leaving the kitchen for a split second.
Yeah, it was just as you turned your back.
Yeah.
And how was Lee? How did he react to that? Because he was a bit of a non-believer at the start, is that right?
Or well, he didn't really Lee's sceptic. He's also an atheist at that time.
So what was his reaction like then? I mean, what did he say anything or...?
Yeah, I'm getting out of it.
Okay. I mean, I can laugh about it now because obviously we've been through it all and we've come out the other side and really, you know, a lot of the time we had to deal with it by using humour as a coping mechanism. But anyone that reads the book will see there were some very, very dark days as well. But I know in the early days it was really more amazement. It was fear, but it was quite fascinating as well, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was quite exciting at the start of the first day. Especially when you came home and your work colleagues came home with you.
Yeah, that's right. And, and we witnessed things for ourselves. And what I found amazing was that at the first day, the activity was just non-stop and whatever was causing it just didn't seem to care who was witnessing it.
No, we could have had 1,000 people, I think, in there, and he would have still been doing it.
Yeah, yeah, and I often think, looking back, you know, well, I'm grateful we did have the witnesses we did, certainly, but looking back, you think, wouldn't it have been great if we could have had more people here to witness what happened? But then, I suppose, to be fair, so much happened. We did have about 30 witnesses.
Yeah, in the case, in the whole case, but at the start of it, you don't even think about witnesses.
No.
You're just looking at it in fascination and... thinking, well, how is this happening, basically.
Yeah. And you called your mum, is that right?
Yeah.
You've got your mum and bro, she's come here
she
with you.
To see, yeah, she came over with me.
Okay, and what happened when your mum was here?
Well, she walked in and I left the house as it was, what happened in the house, to show her what's been happening. And as she walked into the kitchen, she turned her back and the fork come flying over her shoulder. She definitely believed it then. And yeah. Then a fork... dropped, and then a spoon, sorry, dropped down in the living room onto the floor.
You had a lot of physical contact from it. I mean, of all the things that happened over the last 3 years, what was the most frightening for you?
There was quite a few things, actually. When the first day, I think we had all the throwing and smashing the house up and so on, but the thing what really frightened me the first day is the phone call where it growled at me down the phone. That was quite personal.
Yeah.
And then we've had lots of things. Remember 11 o'clock at night and a coke can come through the ceiling. That was quite scary. And then I tried to get away and I got into the car and all these stones were being thrown at me from the back seat of the car. And then obviously getting beaten up in the car.
That physical contact, I think that was horrible, wasn't it? When you could actually feel something pinching you and
Yeah,
poking you, it was
and
just.
then smack me on the head and so on. You know,
Okay.
I mean, I had a day when the first time it actually touched me was poking me on the shoulder, and it poked quite hard and it hurt. And it went on for a few hours, just constantly poking me on the shoulder, like someone was walking behind you, just poking you.
And I know, some of the readers might be surprised to hear some of this as well, because we haven't included every single thing that happened in the book. There's an awful lot that hasn't been included, just because I suppose when I wrote the book, I wanted it to be from a very personal experience, from how we coped with it as a family. And I thought, well, if there's anything more we can always talk about after such in forums like these on the podcast and on our website. Because I didn't just want it a big long list of things that happened, because after a while that would get a bit tedious. So I suppose I felt that it's important that people know how families cope with this sort of thing on a personal level. But yeah, again, that was a horrible thing for you to experience. I know you did certainly get the brunt of it, and I suppose I'm very grateful in that way that at least the children didn't, they weren't affected in such a way. I'm sure you would prefer that it happened to you rather than the kids.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I didn't want kids having anything to do with it.
Yeah, exactly. And thankfully we managed to protect them from a lot of that, and it was really all very focused on you. I know what you mean about the growling sound. I mean, when you told me about it, I just couldn't comprehend that. And it wasn't until I heard it myself that really I could appreciate just how frightening it was. It was absolutely awful. And when it growled at me down the phone, it was kind of a horrible growling, like a vomiting sound. It was like nothing I've ever heard before. It certainly couldn't have been man-made. And it frightened the life out of me. I'm not afraid to say. I had a bit of a panic attack afterwards. It frightened me so much. But again, that was nothing compared to how things escalated after that in the house and got to such a level that it was quite life-threatening, really, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely with the fires and so on. I mean,
Yeah, even when you couldn't get away in your car as well.
yeah.
I mean, that must have got to a point when it's actually following you out of the house that's when it really, you think there's no getting away from it.
Well, no, I mean when the time when we realised it followed us out of the house is when you went to Ireland to visit your mum,
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
and we came in from the pub and we're sitting downstairs, the phone's ringing constantly. It's always from a private number. Picking the phone up, there's no one there. After about the sixth time, I said it, I think it's him. And all of a sudden, every door in the house started opening and slamming on their own, all together. So we got out of the house, and when we got to my mum's, that's when we realised it followed us to my mum's because it started throwing things around my mum's flat.
And how did that feel, knowing that it was following you out of the house?
Well, that's quite scary because there's nowhere to go for it.
And also, people just didn't know how to help us, really, did they? It was very
No.
hard finding help. And I think that's something that stayed with us and affected us so much, the fact that we just didn't know where to turn. I mean, you look online and it's just crazy the amount of stuff that comes in when you type up help for people with a haunted house. And that again was one of the reasons why we wrote the book, wasn't it? I mean, you certainly pushed and pushed me to write this book for a long time before I actually did it. And as I've said, that's my reason. What was it so important to you to get the book written?
I just think it was just quite an amazing thing what happened. And I think people should be made aware that these things can happen. I mean, this just happened out to us out of the blue. We didn't ask for it to happen, it just happened to us out of the blue. And if someone said to me this was going to happen, I'd just say, I think you're nuts.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I couldn't have anticipated any of that either. And like you said, it certainly wasn't something we wanted or asked for. What was the most fascinating side of it for you? Not frightening, but something that actually you found
Well,
was.
he had a lot of tricks. He'd done a lot of tricks, playful stuff as well. I mean, he could do stuff like I would have a handheld recorder in my hand, and I look down and it's not working. I'm thinking I just put new batteries in this. So I look inside to look where the batteries to change the batteries. I look inside and the batteries are completely gone from it. And you look, and all of a sudden, after a few seconds, they just let. Fly down from the sky and land at your feet, the battery. So he's basically taking the batteries out while you're holding it. And he's done loads of tricks like that, you know?
Excuse me. And how have your friends reacted to this?
Oh, they think it's fascinating. I mean, Chris, he couldn't believe it, but Chris was quite into the paranormal anyway.
Mm.
And he always followed like the Enfield case for when he was a kid and so on. And see something like this, he was really fascinated by it.
And he's been a good friend as well, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it'd be very easy for people to run away from this sort of thing. But actually, he's, you know, he's been very good and he stood by you and you still meet up.
At the start, he used to come down with me, you know, down to the house so I went on my own, help me with the dogs and so on, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And your family as well. We've been very fortunate that your family are nearby and they've supported us a lot. Certainly when we had to move out of the house, I don't know what we would have done because we wouldn't have had anywhere else to go, but we couldn't stay in the house the way it was, certainly not with the children anyway. So, I mean, the sounds that you recorded are pretty amazing. From people that listen to what's called EVP sounds, usually they're quite grainy or muffled, and you watch programs on the television where they'll have subtitles to explain what's actually being said. You don't need subtitles when you listen to the sounds you've recorded. Actually, they're frighteningly clear. And unlike anything I've ever heard before, with such clarity, the messages have come through. I mean, how did you feel when you played back those recordings and realised what you'd picked up?
Well, sometimes when you record them, sometimes you can actually hear what he says, because he might say it in your ear or something like that. But a lot of times you won't hear anything until you play the recording. And most of the sounds are so clear that it's just like someone talking to you.
Yeah. And that's what people, I suppose, some people that have read the book have struggled to understand that they've said, well, you know, you've had all these awful problems with your house and you've had the exorcism, yet there you go and still have contact afterwards. I mean, they're saying, how could you do that? You think you'd want to be rid of it. But, you know, I do understand that, because when it happened with the sounds being recorded, it wasn't in the house. The house, you know, was safe again after the exorcism. There was nothing dangerous going on here. It happened down the pub and it was in front of other people. So it wasn't that element of danger, I don't think, that there was in the house with the children. You didn't feel as vulnerable. And again, it was just so fascinating. I mean, it has been hard for you to walk away from this. Eventually it got to the point where you realised, yeah, he's just luring you in really, wasn't he? And I don't think he's ever going to give you any real answers, but it has been hard for you to walk away, hasn't it? And to have to stop recording and have to stop, you know, gathering evidence, I suppose, for the case, because again, you didn't want to be dabbling in it.
What people got to understand is that this went on for a few years. And if you've never been through this before, you wouldn't understand that you actually start to get used to it. And when he's down the pub with you, it's fascinating. You want to try and find out as much about it as possible. You want answers to it. Why it's happened to you, who is he, and so on. He never gave us the answers. He lied a few times, and we know he lied.
Mm.
But he never gave us the answers, and we never got the answers from him.
Mm.
But it was fascinating. Going down the pub,
yeah,
you know, even around the table, you know, he's levitating tables and so on.
I know, and the time the chairs moved on their own, that's a recording I'm going to release at some stage. But I have to admit, when I did see the chairs move on their own, I swore quite a lot just out of amazement. It's something I'll have to filter out, I think, but I was just so amazed to see it, whereas you had seen a lot more than me, because you were regularly going down the pub, you were regularly seeing things, whereas I was kind of a bit nervous of it and decided not to. But on that occasion, I went to see the chairs move on their own, one after the other, like someone was pulling them out. That'll stay with me for a very long time. But yeah, again, we have had other witnesses come with us to the pub where they've seen things just couldn't be explained. But I'm so glad that at least we got the recordings. Though near the end, he did seem to cotton on to that fact, didn't he? And they started to be erased, or the batteries would be taken out of your recorder.
Well, towards the end, he started erasing everything he put on the recorder. It let us listen to it once or twice, and then you go to listen to it again and it'd be gone. It'd be erased. It's like the last thing he ever said to me was, I was sitting in the pub garden. It was only like a small courtyard garden, which was probably about 5 tables, probably about 12 chairs in the courtyard. And I was sitting there having a cigarette, and all of a sudden every single chair in that courtyard lifted up and was thrown at me all at the same time. And the last thing he said to me after that was on the recorder was, Neil, I'm going to get you. I'm going to fucking get you if it's the last thing I do. And he let me listen to that a couple of times. He let me play it to Mike over the phone, and then it was erased.
Yeah, and apologies for the swearing there, but obviously it's in context and it's got to be discussed. That's what you heard at the time. He could be quite nasty at times, and but then those times when he could be quite funny as well. It's a very strange mix, but also it's very fascinating. But again, like I say, you did the right thing. You know, after that, things just decided to cut it off, and that was the end of it, really. So much as in that sort of context. I mean, since then, we have had strange things happen in the house, but nothing that would frighten us.
No.
And I think a lot of that as well is perhaps that because we've gotten so used to, because that maybe isn't that fear factor there anymore, that perhaps it's not as powerful as it was, or as I like to think, that we're being looked after here, and perhaps we're you know, we have someone looking out for us. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, do you think you'll ever find answers?
No. I mean, it's, you get something happen now in a house, which might be like you'll be walking along and a 5p might drop.
Yeah.
I'm not scared of that, because what I've seen over the years is nothing. So we get little things like that now, but no, I don't think I'll ever find any answers to it.
So what do you think about people that say they're experts in the paranormal? Do you think there's such a thing?
No.
Why?
I don't think there's no experts in the paranormal whatsoever. No one actually knows what it is. I've done quite a lot of research over the last few years. And no one knows what anything paranormal is. Like, if I've got the best experts down here now, no one could actually tell me what this thing is.
People can only tell you their interpretation or their opinions of it. That's what I think. That's why we've always been very careful not to label it as anything, because everyone draws different interpretations and different opinions, and a lot of it can be due to your religious belief or your upbringing, but that doesn't mean to say that's what it is. That's the way I look
at
it. No,
I mean, I had a so-called paranormal, I was speaking to a so-called paranormal expert, and he told me it's this. And when I sort of disagreed with him, when I said, well, I don't think it is, I said, I don't think you know what it is, because no one knows what it is.
He gave you his opinion on what it was, basically.
And he said, and he was quite adamant, I think it's this. I said, all right, then, would you bet your house on it? Is it? He said, well, no. I said, there you go, then. You're not 100% sure this is it.
Unless you've died and come back to life. And I think, you know, it's open to interpretation, really. Looking back on it now, I mean, how do you think it's affected us all as a family unit?
It's made me a lot stronger. It made us all a lot stronger.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's brought us together as a family, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely made us stronger.
We've got a real history, a real history here. And, you know, your friends and family are so supportive. But again, unless they've experienced it, no one can really understand what it's been like unless you've been through it yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. And so I know I hate to push the point, but what do you think it is, I should say, really, not was. But what do you think it is, or do you know?
Who knows? It could be a poltergeist, a demon, it could be anything. We don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, is there such thing as demons and poltergeists? I don't know. No one's actually told me that's what it is. I mean, he used to say things to us. He used to leave messages on my phone and my mate's phones saying, I'm Satan.
Yeah.
Well, I said to him, well, I don't think Satan's going to be bothering coming down to visit me personally.
No.
But that's just to scare me, you know.
It's frightening, isn't it? It's a tactic to frighten, I think.
He's used the word Lucifer before.
Lucifer, yeah. And I find those footsteps on the stairs as horrible things. That was one of the worst days for me personally. That was the most frightening day. And I'm certainly not ashamed to say I broke down, because I was so horrified by that. But I think, again, that was a tactic to frighten us, and it did the trick. Certainly did the trick with both of us, I imagine. But who knows if that was caused by something with claw prints, or it did that just to frighten us. We don't really know what shape or form it's in, do we?
Well, I know he can go in different shapes, because I've seen him as Chris.
Yeah.
Chris walked past the window, and there was three of us looking out the window, and I said, "It's Chris." And he walked up to the front door, went to open the front door, and he's gone. And Chris walked around about 2 minutes later. And Chris actually saw him in front of him, walking up behind him. I've also asked Chris for a cigarette in the back garden, walked into the living room, and Chris is sitting there.
Yeah, I know. And there's been, when I was in Clacton, where when the investigators were here and heard me say I'm back.
Yeah.
And of course, I wasn't here at all.
I actually saw Clacton. I was upstairs, but I actually looked down the stairs and actually saw the lower half of your body walking.
Yeah,
in.
Yeah. And as I say, with the claw prints and other things, it can take other shapes. I mean, as in the book, I've seen a little girl. I don't know if it's the same entity. I don't think it was. You think it was. So we'll always disagree on that. But I think there's more than one here. I think whatever energy there is on this land, it's brought things in. But as you say, you could talk about it all day, really, couldn't you?
It could
drive you mad, really.
Well, it's like this. I mean, Mike Halliwell, the investigator, had an hour conversation with my brother Mark on the phone.
Yeah.
Until he realised the next day that Mark was actually at work and never spoke to him at all.
I know. Very, very interesting. So, I mean, how have you found the reaction from the public since the release of the book? I mean, I have to say I've been blown away by the messages of support. Did it come as a surprise to you, just how many people support us?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I was reading, like, people saying we're going to be nutters and so on.
Yeah.
But we haven't had any of that.
No, I have to say, yeah, I am absolutely amazed. And I think it's a shame in a way that so many people support it, but in the media and in the public eye, it doesn't seem that way at all. The response from the public has just been amazing. And for anyone out there that's listening to this, that's going through problems, please do contact us because we'd be happy to speak to you. And just to let you know, you're not alone. And the good thing about this as well, another good reason for us bringing out the book was if we did encounter problems in the future, was that we're now building up really good contacts of people that can help.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I know quite a few people. I speak to a lot of top investigators and so on. So I've got quite a lot of contacts in it now.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Well, unless there's anything else you want to say? No? Just thanks to everybody that's bought our book so far. If you're interested and you haven't read it already, it's available on Kindle. If you search for Paranormal Intruder. And it's on Kindle and now on paperback. So we currently have a giveaway on Goodreads if you want to enter the free prize draw. And that's for a signed copy of Paranormal Intruder that will be posted to your home address. So do give that a try and good luck with that. If you want to find out more, you can visit my website, www.caroline-writes. That's that little line in the middle, caroline-writes.com. Or you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, any of the social media networking sites. So we're going to leave it here. I'm sure, like I say, we could talk all day, so I'm sure we will have another chat at some point. And I know Chris is certainly going to speak to us in the future, and Mike Halliwell. So we've got some really interesting interviews coming up. So do subscribe to this podcast and stay tuned, and you'll hear from us again soon.